Welcome everyone to Wise Talk. This is Mariposa's monthly leadership forum. Today we're jazzed to have Sue Rasmussen, who coaches women entrepreneurs to increase their productivity, passion, and profit by doing less and accomplishing more. She's a master certified coach, an EFT, holistic and matrix imprinting practitioner, and a two-time international best-selling author of My Desk is Driving Me Crazy and Unclutter Your Spirit. Those are two separate books, just so you know. Sue has worked with over 6,000 small business owners, entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants in 29 countries since 1998. Her work has been featured in several magazines, including Success, Real Simple, Women Entrepreneurs, and she's also appeared on NBC's Today Show. You can follow her on Twitter, and that's how we found her. She's at Sue Rasmussen, and that's Sue, S-U-E, R-A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N. Make sure you get the A's and the U's and the N's right there. And she also has an offer for us that we'll talk about now, and we'll also talk about at the end. Sue's offer to allow us to download one of her books. And Sue, you're going to give us the link to that in a second. But first, I just want to say thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. And I love talking about what we're going to be talking about today. So I will share as much information and answer whatever questions you have to
sure.
the very best of my ability. So
awesome.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we're pleased to have you. As all of you know, we have been doing Wise Talk for years now. I think this is our 14th year. Haven't missed a beat. We take December off, but other than that, we've been able to find somebody every month, which is thanks to Allison, who's on the phone with us today. And every year we have a different theme, and this year the theme is about stress, and I thought this was a great topic. Also want to say that I literally just finished my own decluttering. I mean, I didn't even think about it till right now that I actually did this right before this call, but I finished it yesterday, so it's really very wonderful feeling, I'll tell you, to declutter your desk and declutter your office. So this is right on the throw. So excited to have you with us today. Before we get into the dialogue, I want to give you a little bit more heads up on the administration, the call. Everyone will be on mute right now, and when we get to the Q&A periods, we'll take you off mute, and you can also unmute yourself by pressing *6. We are recording the session, and it'll be on our website by tomorrow afternoon. I also welcome questions via email if you don't want to speak up in the call. You can email me at sueb@mariposaleadership.com, and just title it Wise Talk Questions, because I'm obviously not looking at my email very much right now. So Sue, I wanted to make sure that in case people have to leave, where are the ways they can get a hold of you to download one of your books? That would be My Desk is Driving Me Crazy or Unclutter Your Spirit.
Yes. You can download, I'm going to give you a website, my website URL that you can download My Desk is Driving Me Crazy. My website is suerasmussen.com. So it's SueRasmussen.com. And then to be able to download My Desk is Driving Me Crazy, you'd do a forward slash, so SueRasmussen.com/my desk, all one word.
Okay.
So MYDESK, right?
Okay.
And then you can also, if you want to get a copy of the other book, which is called Unclutter My Spirit, send me an email at sue@suerasmussen.com, and I will be happy to send you one as well.
Awesome. And I also, she gave us her email as well, so that's sue@suerasmussen.com. Awesome.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you've got my perfect.
Yeah. So you can send her an email for anything, but you also can send her an email for the book.
Yep.
So Sue and I were talking right before we got on the call here, and so the first thing I want to address is your personal journey and how that led you to these books. And come to find out that right now Sue is in Florida, but she lives in an Airstream. And so talk about decluttering your life. That's as close to it as you can get, I guess. So tell us a little bit about how that came about, and then how do the books fit into all that?
Yes. For the last 10 years, I have had a dream of either traveling around in an RV, I also did some research on building a tiny house. I was going to do that. And then I found out about Airstreams. I didn't even know they made them anymore. And when I found one, I literally walked into a showroom filled with Airstreams. I had no idea they were there. And when I walked into one, I was like, oh, this is it. My answer, here's my answer.
Awesome.
And so it was really, but the journey to get here has been a lifetime, because I've spent a lifetime really learning how to let go of things, which is a lot of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about letting go of things, letting go of stuff on your to-do list, you know, things that you think are super important but probably aren't. But letting go of physical things was one of the first things that I learned how to do. And so I've lived in like 30 different homes before I did this. So I've lived in big places and little places and have learned what's really important and what's really not that makes my life work really well. And so to move into the Airstream, I obviously had to get rid of a lot of stuff, because I do this full time now. I got rid of everything except basically what fits in here. So I've got, I think, 184 square feet or something like that. It's less than 200 square feet. And I feel like I'm literally living in luxury. I have everything I need in this little, beautiful little place that's designed, you know, so that it fits everything perfectly. So to me, again, what we're going to be talking about today is how to let go. And the reason I talk about it and I'm so passionate about it is because I've spent a lifetime learning how to do it. And learning how to let go of physical stuff, but also some of the other things, like we said, whether it's activities or time stuff or even mental stuff. You know, to me, there's a lot of layers of clutter, and I think we'll probably talk about that as we go along and get into some of
the
questions.
Right. So you've been doing the Airstream thing for 10 years.
No, I've been doing the Airstream thing for 1 year. 1 year.
Oh, 1 year.
I've wanted to for 10 years, but
you
it's been a
for
year.
10 years. Sorry. Okay.
Yep.
Well, so this is new. This is new. Okay. So you were living in a house, regular house, in the last, whatever you want to call that, I guess, in the last.
My entire life until now. Yes.
So, so how did you decide to write these books? I mean, did you have like, did someone mentor you to say, and you just sort of had enough one day, like, I want to deal with clutter, and did you have a sort of a nirvana moment, or how did you come about?
Not so much. I mean, I have always loved to write, and by writing, I mean by writing to teach. So to me, that's what writing is writing to teach and to hopefully inspire.
Right.
And I've been coaching people on letting go of things and setting up their businesses to work really well. I've been doing that for a long time. I've been coaching since 98. So I've always been writing, you know, writing newsletters, writing articles, writing all kinds of things. And so writing books was actually just a simple extension of that. And I actually wrote two books before these two books. These two books came about because it was really time for me to take what I have learned working with so many clients and what I've done with my own life and take them and put them out for a bigger audience. So my real purpose was to reach a lot of people, because how I look at the way that we operate and the way that we have our stuff is very different from the way a lot of other people do. And it was just time for me to get that out and share it so that other people could actually try it on for size and see, oh, there's a totally different way to think about and look at this and do this, and maybe it is a fit for, you know, the people that read it. And so that's really the process.
Nice. Okay, so you've been coaching people for almost 20 years, and you noticed that in your coaching that people were needed, you know, so what I'm hearing you say is that people need to let go. That the letting go part is really more about what this is about, more than it is about the actual clutter itself. So I want to get to that. And that's one of the things you talk about in your seven principles. So let's dive right into those seven principles in your My Desk is Driving Me Crazy book. And I've got those here. You guys want to go to Amazon and look at her book and follow along. It's in the first couple pages, actually. Follow along, that's great. And if not, you can just listen to us and take notes if you'd like. So, either way. So, could you run us through those seven principles and why you think are work for people?
Yes, and I'm going to give a little bit of overview first, because what I see with people, and I see this with entrepreneurs or people in corporate America, is that everybody is so frantically busy and overwhelmed and stressed and not sleeping and has a to-do list that just never ends. And as I, and so from that, we think the answer is, okay, if I could just get more organized and I could get it all done, then I would feel better. Or if I could just, you know, handle what I have better and do it faster or multitask better, then I would actually feel better. And it's actually not the answer. So focusing on getting more done is actually not the answer, and it's very counterintuitive. Even just saying that can have people just say, well, what are you talking about? You have no idea what I have. It's so important that I get all this stuff done. But the truth is that so much of what we do or what we think we need to do is actually not that important. And that, you know, that initially doesn't seem true because we think, no, you don't get it. I have a lot on my plate. But here's the thing. Your mind is a list-making machine. It's a to-do-making machine. Your mind, your brain, is constantly looking for what else needs to be done, what else haven't I done yet, what else should I put on the list? And so if you ask yourself a question like, well, what is it that I need to get done today? Your mind is literally going to come up with probably 5,000 things that you need to do. And it's just going to keep generating them and keep generating them and keep generating them. So even if you finish that list, tomorrow you're going to have another one just as big. So instead, it's much more helpful to ask, what are the 1 to 3 most, very most important things I need to do today based on what I want my life and my business or my work to be about? Mm-hmm. And it's a totally different question, and it will often send your brain into a screeching halt. Like, what? What do you mean 1 to 3 things? Like, you have no idea how much is important. But it starts your brain, and the more you ask the question, the more you will train your brain to start looking at your activities and your tasks totally differently. So before I get into the principles, I'll give you a couple of quick little other things that are actually important as well, is that because you heard me just say, what are the 1 to 3 most important things I need to do today based on what I want my life and my business to be about? And most people don't really know what those things are. Like, what is really important to me in life? We usually just say, well, I want all of it. Everything I could possibly cram in, I want all of it. We don't consciously necessarily say that, but that's how we act. Like, everything, I want it, right? And same with our work. We think, if it's there, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to take it on. And in one of the groups that I use with clients, it's called Productivity, Passion, and Profit. One of the most important steps that we take, and I'm going to give this to all of you as an invitation for action for you, is to start by really having a clear vision of what you want your life to be about. Like, looking back at your life at the end of it, what do you really want it to be about? What's the most important thing? Because otherwise your life's just going to be, you're going to look back and you're just going to see a flood. And so it's going to be really helpful to look at, like, what's really important? And then from there, then we can actually use the principles to support having you get there but not being overwhelmed in the process. Because when we really get clear on that, you realize that you actually want a few things and they're really important to you, but the rest is you don't care about nearly as much as you maybe thought you did. And I can tell you, when I take groups through this exercise, this is one of the hardest things for people to do. So the most important, but it's one of the hardest, because it's kind of like when I teach people how to clear clutter. Clearing clutter is really about getting clear about what matters most to you. And that, you'd think it'd be kind of easy, but it's actually harder than most people think, because it means I'm going to say yes to some things and no to other things.
Right. So are you talking about, like, maybe thinking about, like, 3 or 4 goals or 3 or 4 purposes? I mean, can you give us some examples of, like, somebody you work with that came up with, like, the 3 most important things or the 3 most important purposes or like that?
Yeah, well, basically one of the exercises that I have groups do is it's basically a vision that takes them into 10 years in the future, and they're being awarded for something that's up in their life, either something that they're doing or how they're being, maybe it's in their family or their community, but there's something meaningful there that matters to them. And again, it may be something that they're doing, but it also may be just who they are, because sometimes the vision is really clear about, hey, I'm going to, build, hospitals for children. It might be something like that, or it might be something totally different. So I've had people literally come up with, I'm going to be fundraising and I'm going to be raising $1 million a year for the cause that I care about, because that's her job, actually. She's a fundraiser. So that's a specific thing that she's doing, and she wants to really up her game with it. And I've had other people that are realtors, and they have very specific goals, and so they look ahead, and they're actually looking at how do I want to impact how people buy homes or sell homes. So it might be that. So it's really, you know, what am I passionately here to be or do? So it's that kind of a vision. So it's a real bigger picture thing. And then from that, the next step, if we want to go a little bit more granular, is to look at, well, what are the one or two or three specific goals that will have you know that you got there? Right. So it might be, you know, a specific goal for your business, or a certain number of clients, or a certain kind of reach, or maybe you want to, you know, write books or whatever it is. So then it gets really specific. So it's a bigger vision, then gets really specific, and then the principles help you get there much easier.
Okay, let's talk about the principles. We've got the principles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is on page actually 29. It starts. If you guys are actually 30 on the book, if you're on Amazon right now. Okay. So principle one is reconsider being in the know. What does that mean?
Yeah. Reconsider being in the know means look at all the things that we think we need to keep up with. So whether it's keeping up with everything that's going on Facebook, keeping up with everything that's going on politically, keeping up with everything in your field, keeping up with things. One of the things I recommend and I give assignments for to my clients is to, from time to time, step back from all of that. And one of the assignments that I give is something called a Freedom 30. And a Freedom 30 means 30 days of a break or a dramatic reduction in the flow of input that's coming into your life, because we're so used to being information sponges. And what happens when we do that, it's really, I love information. So, I mean, I'm flooded with information all the time. But what happens when you just are an input machine is that your own creativity doesn't have time to really do anything. And you start reacting to what's around you rather than actually creating. And so taking a break, whether it's 30 days or a weekend, taking a break, a complete break if possible, from all input, gives you a chance to recharge internally. It gives you a chance for your own ideas to bubble up to the surface. It improves your problem solving. So principle number one is really take a good look at how you are taking in the fire hose of information that we all have available 24/7. And
yeah,
if
I think
you can turn that off or turn it down.
I don't even know if it's turning it off, but maybe shoring it up. Like, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
After the election, it was total bombardment of information from all my news feeds on Twitter, and I'm kind of a Twitter girl, so I'm a lot. And so I just made the conscious decision to say, you know what, I'm going to go in my news feed. Instead of having 20, I'm going to have 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I made sure that there was lots of different ones. It wasn't just coming from the New York Times, right? But so getting different kinds of information.
That's great.
But I was conscious about that. But I was really conscious about not doing, you know, some of the more gossipy ones and like BuzzFeed, and just saying it's okay, I let it go. And it's really been great, because I still feel like I get enough information. I'm still looking at my giants, because that's one of the ones I put in there. I think that's an example. Just minimizing. You don't have to go cold turkey, but you minimizing or diminishing, not minimizing, but diminishing it.
Yes, reducing. And like I said, one of the things that you can do is decide for yourself if it's going to be a full, like a permanent thing, or if it's going to be I'm going to take a break for a weekend or for a week or for whatever. And then it gives you, you become intentional again, instead of just taking in what's there, because it's so easy to get sucked into that. So your decision was awesome to do it that way.
Yeah, well, because it's so easy to be sucked into all of this, Facebook, Instagram. I mean, I'm on, I don't know, 6 or 7 of them, but it's like you just have to make choices. So, okay, I like that one. You don't have to be in the know on everything. Okay, I like it.
No.
So what's the next one?
Nope. The next one is get comfortable with time on your hands. Now, this one is hard for a lot of people because we kind of think, especially if we're busy, I have to use my time wisely. Like every single person that I've ever coached around this stuff, that's what comes out of their mouth. I have to use my time really wisely. I have to be efficient. I have to be effective. And the truth is that when you can give yourself some empty space in your schedule and leave it, again, that's where a lot of your really good stuff that comes from you is going to happen. It's in the spaces, it's in the breath between all the busy stuff. We think it comes from what we're doing, and it actually comes from the quiet. So whether it's like scheduling 15 minutes of quiet that you just literally do not, you don't fill with something else, or whether it's you set up some space in between everything that you're doing, getting comfortable with having some time is a huge deal. And what we normally do now is if we have time on our hands, we grab our phones and we start looking up, you know, we get on Facebook or whatever. We don't actually give ourselves time. We think, oh, I have time, I'll do this, but you're actually doing something. So if you can give yourself a little bit of space, it's going to help.
Right.
Go ahead.
So most people that we work with, either because they're managers and they're working with their teams or coaches working with their clients, most people we know are completely busy, and there's this badge of honor, especially in Silicon Valley, to be busy.
Yes.
Most people would say they don't even have any time. But you're not only saying that. There's two parts to that to me. It's one, you got to literally put stuff on your calendar, that says no, you know, nothing. Nothing's in there in that time.
Yeah.
Like if it's 15-minute intervals, and then when you do have the time, is looking at it as more space. And I mean, think of it as like, you know, the vessel is what we do all the time, but the space in the vessel is what we don't focus on. So how can we give ourselves time to think and just be? And that's hard for people.
It's super hard. And the hardest part is not actually finding the time. It's deciding that the time is important enough. That's
right.
The hardest part. Because if you realize that that's where your real brilliance comes. One of the chapters in the book is basically called Brilliance Needs Breathing Room. And it's why your very best ideas come when you're in the shower or doing something mindless, because you actually have a time to integrate all the busy stuff that you've been doing all day. That's the time when it happens. It doesn't happen when you're rushing to the next thing, because you haven't even had time to like let it really sink in, the last conversation or the last activity that you did, and you're rushing to the next one. You actually, your brain and your body need time to let all that meld together and create something brilliant, and it might be a solution to a problem that you've been racking your brain over. It's not going to come over the racking your brain over it. It's going to come because you had a little bit of breathing room. And so the biggest challenge is you have to decide that it's important enough. And for most people, that's a really big thing to ask. So if you start small and just say, well, what if I gave myself this? I'm going to give you a big assignment. It's not in the book. I'm going to give you a big assignment that one of my coaches, my very first coach, gave to me, and it was one of the hardest things I ever did, and it was the most valuable. And she said, because I mean, believe me, I was a check off the list, massive, always busy. I was exactly what I write about. And she said, I want you to take 45 minutes a day and do nothing. And I immediately was looking for loopholes. Well, can I walk my dog and call it good? Like, is that doing nothing? And she said, no. And I said, well, should I be meditating while I'm doing nothing? No. Should I be, like, I was like, all these things I want. Well, does that count? She's like, no, I just want you to sit and literally do nothing. And the only way I could even do it, I was living in Arizona at the time, I had to leave my place and go out to the pool, and it was in the winter, and it wasn't, I mean, Arizona still gets chilly at night. I had to wrap up in a blanket, and it was at night, and I had to just sit there. And because, like, inside, I just couldn't do it. My body was jumping all over, and I kept looking around at all the things, like, I got to do the dishes, and I got to, you know, everything I thought I needed to do. It was crazy. And so I was sitting out there with my blanket, and it was dark, and it was smelling good, and, like, because there was flowers and everything. And I looked up, and I noticed there was this big flock of birds flying over, and I'm like, I didn't know birds flew in flocks that night. Like, it was just, and I thought, this is so amazing. You know, this is just so great. And then I looked at my watch. 1 minute had gone by. 1 minute. And I'm like, no, 4 minutes left. But I had to train myself. But so here, okay, I got to tell you the rest of it. But what I found was in that 45 minutes, even though I was just sitting there, it felt like all of a sudden, even though the rest of my day was just as busy as it always was, it felt like I had so much time. It felt like I actually did have bunches of ideas when I sat there. I just sat there without doing anything, but my mind was, even though I was trying not to have it do anything, it still was coming up with things. And it was so, it changed my life. It totally changed my life because I did not think it was valuable. So you could start with, you know, if you wanted to try this out for yourself
minutes.
And see if, yeah, I was going to say, like, try something shorter, like 45 minutes
yeah.
is hard. But until you believe that it's valuable, you won't do it. You
right.
seriously won't do it. So try something
right.
tiny.
Interesting. So let's get through, like, four of the principles, and I'm going to take a break and then ask people if they have any questions. Okay, so let's get
okay,
through.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I was going to say, we could
sure.
All right, so the next
less
one
to accomplish
is
more.
Do less to accomplish more. This is
yeah.
basically, do less to accomplish more is basically about the 80-20 principle. And
right.
the 80-20 principle, we've all heard of it, but we don't actually live it. And what it really means, this is the core of it. Like, if this is the only thing you get out of this talk, it'll change your life. What the 80-20 principle means is that 20% of what we do and how we spend our time really gets the results. It's what we get joy out of. It's what makes our money. It's what improves our relationships, like 20% of everything. 80% really gives little to no results. So if you can figure out either what the 80% is or what the 20% is, and start eliminating the 80% and even doing a tiny bit more of the 20%, not only would you have a whole ton of free time and a lot easier life, but you would get much, much better results. So that's what do less to accomplish more
nice.
Really means is you don't have to work yourself to the bone.
Got it. Make decisions that are right for you, principle four.
Principle four, listening to your inner wisdom is one of the things that I really teach people is how do you make decisions about what to do and what not to do? You know, it's a great idea to, like, okay, do less and, you know, pick the 80% versus the 20%, but how do you do that? And so I really believe that if all we do is listen to our mind that's chattering, 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 we won't really get the best answers for you. So I encourage people to listen to their body, to listen to, like, if you, like, one quick way to do that is to think of something already that you know you hate that's terrible for you. It might be a person or an activity or an obligation that you just hate doing. So think of that right now and then notice what your body is doing. If it's something that you hate, your body is going to be tightening up somewhere. It's going to be your throat's going to tighten up, your stomach's going to get a knot in it, your shoulders are going to crunch, you're going to get some tightening somewhere. And that's your body saying no. And the opposite is true. If you think of something that makes you super happy, your body's going to relax. You're going to breathe differently. I tend to get a smile on my face. So you can use your body's reactions to ask yourself, is this something that is important for me to do? Is it not important for me to do? And make decisions based on the part of you that I believe has a much deeper knowing than the monkey mind voice that's going to just tell you you need to do everything and everything's urgent and it's all crazy. So that's what making decisions that are actually truly right for you is about.
Okay, great. So let me just go over those first four principles. We'll go over the other three afterwards. But reconsider being in the know. That's my favorite, actually. Get comfortable with your own get comfortable with time on your hands. Do less to accomplish more and make decisions that are right for you. So I'm going to open it up to questions from the audience, participants. So please state your name and what question you have for Sue. Who wants to jump in?
Yeah, jump in. I'm not scary, I don't think.
I have a comment.
Okay.
This is Scott from Southern California.
Hey, Scott.
Hello. I really appreciate these principles and the philosophy that you're purveying.
Thank you.
I think it's the type of thing that when I hear it, it just rings true. But on a day-to-day basis, it's so easy to forget this stuff and just focus on what do I have to do instead of what do I really want to do.
Yeah. You're exactly right. And that's why the principles sound really simple, and they are really simple, but it's exactly what you said. It's not how we are wired as a culture, definitely not how we're wired as a culture or how we're encouraged to be. So it's like Sue was saying earlier, that it has to be an intentional decision and then a practice that becomes more and more the way that you operate. So, yeah, I love that you said that. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks, sure. Scott.
Sure.
Hi, cool. Sue and Sue, I have a question.
Okay, this is who?
This is Rebecca Aurora, coach in the area.
Oh, hey, Rebecca.
Hey.
I can recognize your voice. You're cracking a bit.
Okay, hopefully you guys can hear me okay. My question,
yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sue, you mentioned the hardest part is deciding that this is important, whether it's getting comfortable with time on your hands or any of these other things. What I'm wondering is, what are some examples where they've been able to overcome it, or how do you help your clients get through that resistance?
Ah, got it. That's such a great question. And I don't actually go a lot, I don't go into it at all in the first book, and I go a little bit into the second book. But one of the things that the biggest challenge that I see with my clients is that once they understand the principles, which they do, they understand them and they really map out what their vision is and they get really clear about what are the most important things for them to do. So we do that. But then the challenge is all the internal stuff, like you said, whether it's resistance or anxiety about, oh my goodness, if I do this, then everything will fall apart. Like if I do less, then my business will fail. There's all kinds of programmed thoughts and internal stuff that we have. And that's when I bring in the EFT work that I do that Sue mentioned a little bit earlier in the introduction. I do a lot of work to help people clear out their programmed beliefs in a super easy way. And once that happens, then people are able to make the changes quite easily, actually. So if we have, for example, a fear of something, and we clear that fear out, which the tools that I use help do that really easily, then it's just a practical matter of, okay, then I'm going to implement what we've already decided to do, whether it's set up some space during my day, whether it's I'm going to really focus on the top couple of really important things, and I'm going to let a lot of the minutia go, then they can actually do that really, really easily. So, for example, one of the clients that I'm working with right now, she's in one of my groups, she was feeling very stuck about what she even wanted to be, what she even saw as her vision for her life. She was like, I just literally don't see it right now. And she was, I usually have one and I don't have anything. I'm feeling burned out. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling really, really blank. So none of the techniques that we're talking about would work for her because she couldn't even see where she was going. And so she was feeling very overwhelmed about what was going on. So what we did was we started to work on that feeling of really being stuck. So the techniques that I was working with her on were how to clear that. And literally once we did that, the next day she was emailing me and she was posting in our Facebook group. She said, she was really cute because she didn't even see that it was happening. She's like, I have no idea what happened, but I just have all these really great ideas and I'm so excited and I'm sharing them with my team and I've put together this and that. She was like writing like four or five things that she had done and it was super easy. She's like, it was so easy and it was so fast and I'm just like right on track. And she didn't even see how much she had shifted because it just felt so natural to her. So she was able to implement the stuff really easily. I feel like I'm gonna maybe give you too big of an answer. I want to make sure that I'm answering what you're asking. So is that giving you what you were...
Yeah, what I'm hearing is that basically addressing the anxiety or whatever is beneath, whether it's resistance or what it is, but getting someone to a much calmer state so that they can then receive what is happening or what those exercises are and start to take action.
Yeah, then it's actually easy. So the actions themselves, and I'm sure as you hear the principles themselves are not complicated. But what they tend to bring up is, but I can't do that. You have no idea. It brings up all of that. And when we clear that, then it's just a matter of just choosing, then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then it just happens. So, yes, you're exactly. That's exactly right.
Great. Okay, great. Thanks, Rebecca. Who else has a question?
This is Scott again. I have a question. I'm coaching a very, very busy CEO. He tries real hard to keep boundaries around his time, but it's a real struggle for him. Like, for example, mm-hmm. we had to make some decisions, and he did his mm-hmm. best to not have to talk to me on the phone and to mm-hmm. transact everything through email. And I know part of the problem is he's a real perfectionist, and he wants to have his hands in every decision. Are there any things that jump to mind as to how to help somebody who's working an 80-hour week and feels like they've just got to make everything happen themselves and do everything perfectly?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I like. If I were working with somebody like that, I'm gonna give you a couple of different answers, and so we can find the answer that works for you. If I were working with somebody like that, I would probably start with them by working on some of the inner stuff, because there's something that's driving him. Like you said, he's a real perfectionist, and it's driving him to make the choices that he's doing. And so, without using those tools, what I would do is have him create a vision for his life about what it will be like doing it the same way he's doing now 10 years from now, mm-hmm. and then doing it the way that you're coaching him to do. So have him see that at this point in time, there's a fork in the road, and the fork, that it's going to go like a very wide V, and the outcomes 10 years from now are going to be very different. If he keeps going the way he's going, even though he's trying really hard, versus mm-hmm. the way that you're coaching him to do, and see if that helps. And you may already have done stuff like that with him, because he's being driven by something inside that's basically like, I can't do it any other way. If I don't do it this way, everything will fall apart. Nobody can do it as good as I do it. If I don't make sure that it's done this way, my business will fail. He's being run by that internally. And so mm-hmm. that's actually the most important stuff is what's running him internally. So if you can shift that by having him see the consequences of it, that might do it.
Makes
sense. But
that's
what I would focus.
Not easy to do, but makes sense.
I know. Because he's probably going to find a way around all the great coaching that you're going to do. I mean, you're probably like mm-hmm. looking at how to keep boundaries, and you're doing all, like, you're giving him exactly what to do, and he's still finding a way around it. And you could ask him, you could see if you could get an answer like what would happen if you let go of this and everybody did it their way, but they didn't do it as good as you. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? And see what the worst case scenario that, because he actually thinks that something terrible is going to happen. And to
part of the problem is, he's in an extremely competitive business, and mm-hmm. if there are some major screw-ups, something terrible could happen.
Yeah.
So it's not that far-fetched.
Yeah, he's getting proven right, you know, like rightly so. Like, it's so, and it may require very, very baby steps, because he sounds mm-hmm. like he's really holding on to it.
mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you're doing, you're looking at the right things with him. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I'm going to say that's honestly why I started adding the mind-body techniques that I do, because I was the same way. I was, at the time, I was coaching, I was a marketing strategist, but I was initially coaching, and I was coaching a lot of very successful financial advisors who wanted to double their business. And we could create their marketing plan, we could lay out exactly what they needed to do it, and it would work. If they just followed it, it would totally work. And they resisted, like, if they had something like this, and there was nothing I could do to make them do the plan, and I kept looking for what's the answer. Like, how do I, and they knew it. Like, they could see it, too. Like, why am I not doing our plan? Like, why am I not doing it? And until I found a way to interrupt that internal process, I struggled. Same thing that you're dealing with. Totally same thing. So if you want to, like, reach out to me offline or email me or something, I'd be happy to chat with you a little bit more about it, because that's exactly why I added the techniques that I do, so that I could help people through stuff like this, because it's like banging your head against a wall sometimes. So I feel for you, because, I mean, it's hard. But
oh,
there's
yeah.
a solution. That's the good news. There's a solution.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah,
thank you.
I want to go into the last three principles, and then also talk about the other book, your other book, Uncluttered Spirit. So Awesome. Let's get into these other principles, and we'll take questions in about 10 minutes. So just looking out. Let's talk about principle 5, let go of good to make room for great.
Yeah, this is really about making decisions that are not always easy about what am I going to keep as far as things I'm going to be doing, actions I'm going to be taking. So it goes back to our 80-20 principle. Because often when you're making decisions about the things that are the most important to you, sometimes what you're going to cut are things that are still good. You may still even want to do them. You may think, they're still good, though. There's nothing wrong with them. But what I really want is to do this really great thing. And to do that really great thing, I actually have to let go of some of the things that maybe aren't so great, even though they're still good. So it's basically, it's really deciding that to get what you really, really want often means making tough decisions about cutting things. Like, very down-to-earth example, but like me moving into an Airstream, I had to let go of a lot of perfectly good stuff that I had pared down to. Like, I only kept what I loved. Before this, I've been clutter-free for decades and only keep the stuff I use and love. I had to get rid of a ton of that to fit into this. So I was letting go of stuff that I totally loved and totally used to get into this, but it was well worth it. It was by far one of the best things I've ever done. So that's what that principle is about.
Okay. Principle 6 is blaze your own trail.
Blaze your own trail. And what that basically means is really get to know your own way of doing things. Because when we're having so many inputs and we're seeing so many people do things and it's so visible, we start thinking we need to do things the way we see other people doing them. Blaze your own trail means keep connecting with yourself and keep checking in with, is this the way that feels good to me to do this? Whether it's how I'm working with the client, whether it's how you're taking on a task or setting up your day. So it's really looking at what way feels really good to you. And let me see if there's anything else I want to add about that. That's probably enough on that one. There's other things I could go into, but it's basically really learning about yourself.
Right. So last principle is lean in to find the buried treasure. Say more about that.
Yeah, this one is, to me, the most powerful principle of them all, and it's what I work with my clients most on. And it's what I mean by lean in to find the buried treasure is the stuff that feels overwhelming, confusing, hard is always where there is transformation or a breakthrough. Okay, so if you're terrified of something but you still want to do it, or if you're freaking out about, you know, if you're wanting to do a bunch of fundraising, but in your mind you have a real fear of something around it, then being able to lean into that instead of running away from it, like lean into it and learn what's there, is where you're going to actually make the most progress in what you're doing. So it's really about not avoiding the things that scare you, but going deeper into them, because when you do, again, that's where the fastest growth happens.
Right.
That's where you make the biggest quantum leap.
Right. So could you give us an example of something that you did with a client that reflects that?
Yeah. Let me think of a good example, because I had several literally just this last week. Think of the best one that I want to share. Well, one of my clients. She's a real estate agent, and she's really good at what she does. And we were chatting in the group. It's a group coaching program that I was offering. We were chatting in the group, and we were talking about what she wanted to do next. And she just happened to sort of toss out there kind of like a little offhand comment. She said, well, you know, I want to make some more prospecting calls, and I've worked through a lot. She had a lot of fear around that, so she worked on that. So she was like, okay, this is great. And then what she tossed out there was, she said, but, you know, I end up doing a lot of stuff as a realtor that doesn't get paid for, you know, if somebody decides not to sell with me or whatever. And she said, so I kind of noticed that my energy is not really high around it. So I could prospect and I could do all this work, but I wouldn't get paid for it. And so when somebody says something like that kind of offhand, I know that there's something important there that we can't ignore. So what we did was we did some of the mind-body technique work that I do. We did some EFT on it and really worked on that, because she had a belief is that you know, if I, why bother working so hard because I'm probably not going to get paid for it, which basically guaranteed that she wasn't going to work very hard towards it, so she wasn't going to succeed either. And so when we cleared that, and she hadn't really even been consciously aware of it, but it was running every single thing that she did in her business, she was holding back, and she didn't realize it. But when we cleared it, then it was super easy for her. She was very excited. She was making prospecting calls. She was jumping. I mean, she was just diving right into it, and she didn't have to try to motivate herself or make herself want to. She just naturally had her motivation back once we cleared that thought of, well, you know, why bother? Because it's not going to work anyway. I'm going to, you know, not get paid for it. So that's one example of leaning in, because if we had ignored that, we could have given her all the tips and the techniques in the world, and it wouldn't have changed anything for her.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your other book about decluttering your spirit.
Yeah.
So say more about that. What's that about?
About Unclutter Your Spirit?
Yeah. Like, what is that? I mean, that's kind of a... that's a lot to think about. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to go there.
It is.
What's the basic premise of it?
Is. This is a book that had to be written. I actually, in writing this book, I wrote three half books before I actually wrote this one. This is the book that wanted to be written. So I finally said, okay, I give up. I'm going to write this book. It had a story to tell. Unclutter Your Spirit is basically, and this is what I deeply believe about our stuff. So I'm going to go a little woo-woo here with everybody, and I think you can take it. But I deeply believe that the stuff around us reflects or mirrors what's going on inside of us. And the stuff reflects our beliefs about money, abundance, about what's possible for us. It reflects all this stuff. And so when we have a lot of stuff around us that is stressing us out or overwhelming us, like a garage that we can't fit a car into or a desk that's piled with papers or, you know, all that stuff that we have or a basement that we have just like shoved stuff in, it's stressing us out. It's just representing parts of us that we haven't been intentional about or are not current about. And so to me, going through your stuff one thing at a time and deciding, am I going to keep this? Does this reflect who I am now? Does it bring me joy, or is it something that reflects who I am now that I want, that I'm using? Or does it reflect some past period of my life, a part of my life that makes me unhappy, something that reminds me of something bad, or it's just outgrown its usefulness, I no longer need it. So to me, when we let go of the things that really are not serving us, then what we are doing is not only clearing up our space, so we have a nice garage that we can park a car in, but we are also elevating our spirit, because then and you can feel it. When you clear it, like you said, when you cleared off your desk or cleared off your space, you feel different. Right? Energetically, you feel different. So the book goes into a lot of that. The book really goes into what that's all about. It goes into how our stuff affects us energetically, and then how to start clearing. And the deeper part of the book, so it goes into how to clear, but then it also goes into what do you do when you run into something that's a really hard decision? Because you know, it's probably going to be pretty easy for most of you to go clear out your neighbor's clothes closet, but clearing out your own is not so easy because every item has a story. It has oh my goodness, I was going to lose weight before I fit into those pants. It has a whole bunch of stuff wrapped up in it. And to me, again, that's buried treasure. Like I talked about in the first book, when you lean in to find the treasure, when you find stuff in your house that brings up that kind of, you know, struggle or emotion, it's another layer of buried treasure because there's something, okay, I could go deep into this, and I'm trying to give you an overview, but what it's doing is it's bumping up against, if there's something, like I'd like to just say, I'm just going to say a pair of pants that you can't fit into anymore, and it's stressing you out to be like, oh, but what if I, can I lose weight and fit them again, and you go into this whole struggle internally. But what's really happening is you're believing something at a deep level that is no longer true or that was never true. So you're believing something, I mean, and it could be anything. It could be, you know, I'm a loser because I haven't lost the weight to fit into those pants again. Or it might mean that those pants remind me of a really, you know, an argument I had with my mother. It makes me sad every time I see them. And instead of, you know, clearing what I feel about that argument with my mother, I hold on to the pants. Right? It could be all kinds of things. But if we're willing, and if we, you know, if we're willing to actually clear whatever the struggle is about stuff, then not only is letting go of stuff easy, but we've also started to clear up the areas in our life that are stuck. So to me, our stuff is a much bigger picture than just, you know, stuff that we shove in a drawer. So that's what that book is about. It goes
deep. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like Okay. Let's just open it up for a second to ask any more questions, last questions, and then we can wrap up. Does anybody have any comments or questions based on, especially the last couple of things we've been talking about, these last three principles?
What do you do when you want to let go of stuff, but you have relationships, loved ones, spouse, children, et cetera, that aren't willing to let go of things? So how do you address to let it go?
Yeah, I get that question like literally every time I do a presentation, I get that question. So you're not alone in that. What I always, always recommend is start with your own stuff. Just ignore their stuff. Start with your own. And I've had this happen, you know, literally hundreds of times with people where I recommend that, and then somebody will come to me and they'll say, you know, it's the strangest thing. You know, my kid cleaned out their closet the other day and I didn't have to say one word. Or my husband cleared out his shop and I didn't say anything. I was just clearing out my own stuff, and then they went and did theirs. That happens a lot. It's not a guarantee. Like, it's not a technique. Like, clear your own stuff because then other people will do theirs. But it happens a lot. So just start with your own, because you can't really make other people. You can kind of make your kids, kind of. You could set consequences and stuff. But,
or give them points for it.
Yeah, you can kind of do things like that, and you can model it for them and all of that. But truly, it's really hard to make somebody else do something like that. So I say start with your own stuff and then see what happens. Because almost every time you're gonna have a happy result.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Great question.
Any other questions or comments? Last chance. Well, I just want to thank you, Sue, very much for inspiring us. There's a couple tidbits I'm taking away and decluttering a little bit more of what's in my news feed. I'm going to do more of that, a little shaving of that. And we've gotten a lot of other tips as far as declutter your stuff first, and also how does the clutter on the outside reflect what's on the inside? I like that a lot, too.
Awesome.
We again can given us the opportunity to download one of her books. If you want to download My Desk is Driving Me Crazy, you go on to her website, which is suerasmussen.com/mydesk, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Or you can email me as well. So feel free to do that.
And then especially if you want the second book, Unclutter Your Spirit, you'll need to email Sue, and that's sue@suerasmussen.com. I just really want to thank you again for all your tidbits and all your ideas. I've gotten a lot out of this. I'm sure the people on the call have. Thanks again, Sue. Very much appreciate it.
You're so welcome. My pleasure to be here.
Sure. And then I also want to talk about next Wise Talk. We've got Dr. David Carbonell. He's the author of The Worry Trick, How Your Brain Tricks You Into Expecting the Worst and What You Can Do About It. So for all you people out there who are ruminators, myself included, this will be great. Tell your friends, tell your colleagues, tell your loved ones. That's going to be on Tuesday, October 24th at 11 a.m. Pacific. All right, so thanks so much, and bye now.
Bye. Thank you.